All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education special meeting of October 9th, 2013. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Baby.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, we're going to then enter into discussion about our, basically our fiscal picture, going over our forecast, PI, bonds.
Forecast. I've given everybody a whole packet of information. I was talking to Sue today, and I said I killed some trees, so sorry. But that packet will just sort of guide us through all of our discussion. I think I've got it in order, and then we can just sort of talk about all of them as we go along. So the first one is the bond refinancing. I do have two rating calls tomorrow for it. So we've gotten more information from when I gave you some information last week. We have option 1, 2, 3, and 4 now. So option 3 and 4 include some of the lower paying bonds, or the 4.5% or percent for the bonds. The percentage that we're right now that's out there is like 3.17 or 3.137 in that realm. So it's less than 3.5%. So it makes a good thing. Option 1 and 2 are refunding of 5.7 million. And then option 3, you'll see you've got the one that I did some handwriting on there from them, and it includes another $3.1 million in bonds. So we've got a little bit, 20%. It's not quite as much in savings overall, but I mean in the percentage-wise, but overall it's a much better savings. Now, we talked to the Finance Committee on Monday about these. The difference between option 3 and 4, just like option 1 and 2, is the way that they've stacked the bonds and the savings. So the savings on option 3, we've got a larger savings in year 1, which would be this fiscal year, which is where we really need a good size of savings so we don't have to transfer as much from the PI. And then lower in the next 4 years, and then it starts picking up, whereas even the savings in this year is $53,000 in option 4, a little bit more in each year. The difference is about $8,000 between the two savings over the time period. Because of, and we talked about this quite a bit, because of that extra savings in year 1, option 3 probably is our better bet. And it percentage-wise, it's a better savings. The actual percentage of savings, it's better than the other way. So those are the options. We're looking at probably going to the market the week after our board meeting. So that's about
this month?
This month, if everything goes okay. We don't have to do anything else on the board, for the board agenda or anything for approval. We've done that to refund because we've got that up to amount in that refunding of the bonds from June or May when we did it. So just your thoughts on those.
Did John help us with this?
Yeah, John Adams. Well, one of the other, Kathleen Clark, is the one that's been doing it, so.
So you're really looking at option 3 is really the direction you're looking to go?
I'm thinking option 3, Jeff. Yeah, I really am. I think it's...
Because of what it does for our PI? Because of the effect it has on the PI, not having to push more money back over there?
Exactly.
Especially this
the
year.
First
Especially
year.
Especially this year.
Right.
Yeah, it made more sense to me. I know you're looking at $8,000 of loss savings.
But that's over the life. That's over what?
Over the whole life of it.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at what your savings this year and the next 4, between 3 and 4, you still have a better savings in those first few years with it.
That looks good to me. What did the finance committee, what did they come up with? They say option three was it?
Yeah, I think they all agreed that option three made sense.
What's your take, yours and Doug, since you folks had a probably deeper discussion than...
We didn't really have much of a deeper discussion because it's pretty much laid out here for you, you know, so...
Option three looks good to me. I mean, that's really kind of solves the problem that we're looking to solve.
It helps soften the problem, absolutely.
Well, okay. Well,
it helps soften the problem that we'll see with the loss of the values for the millages and all.
Gotcha.
And we'll just have to see if it actually goes through or not, just because of...
Yeah.
For the bond markets and everything else. Yeah.
On the bottom of this, it says the refunding dated date and delivery date as October 15th.
Right.
If this is not going to happen until after that.
It probably won't happen until that. And they just put a date on there, Tracy, because they try to get it as close as possible. But with getting
What would prevent it from happening on that date?
Not having everything done, because what happens is we have to meet, we have to do the call tomorrow, the rating calls. They have so many days to get that report back, and then they have so many days to get it out to market. So with them redoing this, that they were probably a week off on that date when they put it on there. Have time for people to read the reports and look at it, put them out to market, and then do the sale.
Cool.
So I'm hoping that the 23rd, probably 23rd or 24th is probably the days it will sell.
Okay.
Crossed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And hopefully, you know, it might go down by then, you know, who knows. Mm-hmm. But we've got to keep that 3%. We want to make sure that we've got at least a 3% savings. So, mm-hmm. And this does not include any of the non-taxable, so you've still got more time to refinance the 15.
Is any of that savings rolled into this bond retirement forecast?
No, it's not, because I really won't know until we see what actually happens.
I'm just kind of curious how that
Exactly.
Well, it's all kind of moving parts, right?
It's so moving that's I did not update this because I wasn't sure exactly how it would fall, really,
right,
with everything. So with that, we're looking at the bond retirement forecast, the $1.2 million. So even if that's the case, and we probably maybe $1 million now. It's $1.2 million, but if you're less on the values, you know, the maturity or the PI, you don't have to pay as much. So, well, it could be less than $1 million, right around that. Mm-hmm. It's a definite $1.1 million, but I would say it might even be less because of how that all fits into what bonds are paying at this level. Until you get that, you won't know.
Right.
And so it's just too difficult to figure that out.
I have a question. And it's just more curiosity.
Sure.
If you look down this total principal and interest column,
mm-hmm.
Why does it jump every once in a while to, like, from 424 to 1 million, then goes back down to 400,000?
It's just the way that they've got the bonds structured.
So they actually lump up a bunch of interest in 1 year or something like that? Or?
Yeah. They can. You can pay interest. When they do bonds, they can pay them so that it's interest only 1 year, maybe, or a small amount of principal. It just depends on what they sold at that time when they were selling them. So
who decides that? Is that the market that decides that?
A lot of times the market, or it depends on the structure that you're trying to get at when you were selling them there originally. So, yeah. I've not seen them jump around as much as these do, but I've had other ones that have jumped a little bit, you know, here and there. Most of them have been pretty, you know, the values go down incrementally, but...
I mean, this is based on what the existing bonds do, and they're just changing the interest rate?
It could be.
It must be, because when you don't tie in those other bonds in there, it's a pretty smooth...
Yeah.
Pretty smooth
adding those
transition, but when you add those other ones in, there must be something...
It's something the way that it's structured it within what they're doing with all of the other ones, so... Hmm.
So were you looking for kind of a thumbs up on option three?
I want to make sure that everybody's comfortable that if I go out to market, when we go out to market, that we go with option three, so I can let Kathleen know that. And
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to it at all. Was everybody else? And was there any
John's
objection?
Recommendation? Did he have?
I've only been talking with Kathleen. Oh, I can ask him what his recommendation is, but I know they recommended that they added those extra bonds in there this time, and then not. They probably won't say anything more for another couple of years when those other ones are available to be refinanced.
The whole story is it saves us money in year one.
Yeah,
and it
right.
saves us money over the long haul.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No small chunk of change there.
No, it's right. not. It's a good chunk.
Yeah,
and this also keeps us under the $10 million that they have to for when they're refunding. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Option three it is.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The bond retirement, like I said, I didn't do anything. I didn't change anything here. So we might want to even just put this off a little bit, you know, but I can update it once I figure out what all it is. But the bond millages, based on that, I went through, and you've got that in front of you also, as far as so that you don't have as much going out of the PI.
Well,
you're looking anywhere from 2.15 mils to 1.63, based on the new values. And I've changed the forecast just a little bit to give us a 1% increase in total values, you know. When I looked at this, just to give a little bit of an increase, okay. I don't think we're going to keep getting, I hope we don't keep getting the losses that we've gotten this year. But that's what I did there. So it could go up anywhere, and I forgot to look today to refresh my memory, but we've still got some room from what the voted is that you can increase. I think we need to wait until we see what happens with the bonds on the refinancing to see where we're really at on if we need to raise the millage or just let it set. But that gives you an idea on that as far as what those, based on information right now, that's what we'd have to, if we didn't want to do anything from the PI, that's the type of millage that you'd have to increase for bonds.
Go ahead.
I was just looking, I know we aren't talking about the bond retirement forecast, but just so that I have a better idea, on the bond retirement forecast in that all tax receipts, you know, you've got it fixed at that $4,061,294.
Yeah.
And is that number there, that $4,061,000, the same as that 6.2 mils?
That's the 6.2 mils, yeah.
Okay.
Based on this current value, the current values that we've got.
The 4 million, the one in the bond retirement is based on the current valuations, and the one in the bond millage needed for payments is based on.
I just upped it by 1%,
okay.
Or 1 mil, or 1% on
okay.
the values,
okay.
so that we had a little bit. That way we've got a little comparison there so that we can see where we're at. That would happen, a good increase, you know, hopefully our values
right.
will start going up.
And I mean, that's pretty conservative to say at 1% when they dropped, 30% this time. Okay.
Yeah, 32 for commercial industrial. Yeah.
So the transfers, I guess what would be interesting to me is to see, you know, we've been using the PI to kind of handle its fluctuations. And I guess what would be interesting to me is to see what our original PI investment was in our bond retirement. Because that was what the commitment we made to the community, right? Is that we're going to supplement the PI, or supplement the bond retirement from PI to keep those down.
So you're saying what? How much did we originally supplement?
Yeah, maybe that's not the best way, but I guess maybe Andrea or somebody would know, between the two of you would know how to figure out that had we not been trying to cover the peaks and valleys with PI dollars and just kind of had a steady investment with that, how much over the years has the valuations impacted, or even our the lack of increase in valuations, because I would assume that our original bond payment schedule
was
and
based
expected
on
right,
increases.
An increase. Right.
So how much of that was, you know, where would the millage be?
Okay.
You know, it's not just taking out PI, but...
Right.
You know,
yeah.
sticking with our original commitment to the community, and how much have we been kind of shielding the increases that would otherwise have come
sure.
with our PI.
I'd be glad to do that.
I mean, it's always been confusing to me kind of unsort that, you know?
It's a good question.
And, sorry, I'm going to think about PI's work, that's not different.
So does that make sense? And then the next page is just sort of a, I sent this to you, that as far as the additional 1 mil, I just did what it is, and then I did one with an additional 1 mil, and then for an additional 0.5 mil, just to give you an idea of what it would do for the district, so that you wouldn't have to take as much out to the PI.
What are we looking at now?
The next sheet. It should be your next sheet.
Okay.
I don't have that sheet.
I don't think I do either.
This one?
This one?
No. They have a different one. No.
It's that under the PI forecast.
Yeah, it should be.
Go past your PI forecast. Past it. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, I see.
There?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got order.
PI forecast?
Yep, you got
it. Okay.
Sorry about that.
You have to read ahead.
So that's what that one is, just to show you a little bit of that, what that PI would do for you. And we didn't have to do that. So really, mine is out of order. Yours was in order. So. Okay. So your next page, this page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I've done here is just give you a summary of both forecasts, what they are right now, the bond savings and the transfers, the bond saving transfers not needed, just based on that option three, hopefully, and it might be even more with the difference in the PI and with the difference of principal. And then what 1 mil for what the 2013 values are, and then what a half a mil would be with the 2013 values. So that just gives you some information so that we can think about it, you know, because right now I think we need to put on hold any discussion about the millage yet, depending on what happens with that bond. So we'll get that and get those schedules.
If we have to shift our millage, what's our drop dead date to do that?
She said probably by the end of December or middle of December. So.
So that would be at our November meeting?
Probably.
Was that the discussion we had at the last meeting? I said it would be nice earlier, but drop dead was the 31st.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering how many, I mean, if we decide at our November meeting that, you know, after looking and see what our bonds go out at, we're not, I mean, are we expecting to turn around and vote that same meeting on increasing
your bonds? I would say if we had it by, looked at it in November and I got the scheduling, because we have to have it so that we pay the bonds December 1st.
Right.
So it'll be a quick turnaround for us. And then if we look at it in November, and then we could vote on it at the
December
meeting.
Okay, that's what I was trying to set that schedule up.
And then we could vote on it. If we need to do something, we need to do it at the December meeting. I just
didn't want to do it all at one meeting. I don't want to turn around and do it all at the same time.
Okay. We can look at it, and then we can let Andrea know that.
Okay. Cool. So that should be pretty familiar. I mean, at least this should be fairly familiar to everyone. We've kind of hammering around it here for the last.
Yeah.
Right. Certainly our last meeting. Anyway.
Yes.
So, Jeff asked if I had the forecast before we got the drop in the values, and I said yes. So I gave you two permanent improvement levy forecasts, and they're a little bit different because in order to really look at it, we had to do some decreases in some areas. And so the first one, the date is 7/15, and the second one's 10/8. So you'll see that those are the two different dates. And the difference there, it's about $300,000 that I had estimated to be transferred to the bond retirement fund. Couple areas, let's see if I can look at them real quick. The areas, textbooks, the $550,000, we had $600 in, $550 is about what we spent this year, so I just, instead of increasing it, we flatlined it, and I know that up and down, that, you know, that might be an area that we can look at.
Mm-hmm.
That seems, because we had a big purchase this year, and I know we'll have some other big purchases coming up, but doing that every year seems maybe a little bit
What we're trying to do is cycle.
And
so
I get that.
We're putting together a curriculum cycle. So it's more than just getting the textbook.
Right.
So it's about looking at the standards, making your curriculum plan, then looking at resources, including a textbook, and making decisions about the resource purchase, not necessarily just the textbook.
Right.
Because there could be other things that
sure.
we would purchase, you know, online things or all kinds of different hands-on type things that we might need to supplement what we already have. So those are the kind of things we'd like to get. So I have one roughed out, and we're going to run it through coaches. I shared it with Cindy a little bit on what you do. But as a department, you're going to be working on some kind of curriculum work each year.
Right.
So that's what we sort of roughed out here.
Sure.
As far as that. The other things are, well, in the presentation that we did last month, I gave you that line by line. I also gave you another one so that you didn't have to bring anything back today.
I got a question.
Sure.
Okay, you've got our...
Where are we at?
Well, I'm looking at FY14 budget.
Yeah.
Okay, the forecast you gave out on the 15th has, the only difference I see is $600,000 more in that one than in this one, but yet the expenditures are more on the ones where we spent less on textbooks. So I guess maybe I'm missing
something. Transferring more
because
to
PI. We're transferring more.
We're just going to transfer more, and that's it. That's the only particular reason.
917
yeah.
versus
okay.
1 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Going back to that textbook thing, I just need to refresh my memory of that 550. Was that? I know it was math. Was it also
K-12?
Okay, K-12
yeah,
math. So it was one
yeah.
subject.
And then there's some other ones that were just so small things that we had to
things.
Get.
Right. Okay.
Other textbooks.
So some years I would anticipate that it would be less, but until
right.
you get into the cycle and really textbook companies are changing and the way they're offering things, so
yeah.
it's a hard thing to predict
right.
now because things are so turbulent. But we do mm-hmm. know, for example, I think it was in Bunzel, they haven't had a language arts adoption in 14, 15 years. They've been supplementing.
We haven't bought books forever.
So... what we'd like to do is get on it.
Yeah,
certainly a textbook isn't the answer. You know,
yeah.
it's just a resource. But with new standards and new testing, the textbook companies are changing the way they do things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that with the textbooks we bought for math.
Right.
The way that thinking has changed around some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's kind of what we're going to engage in as well.
I would just think that as we're looking at this forecast, we start to adopt the same mindset that we have on our general fund budget, that where we pay attention to what the deficits are in each
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that being one of those big line items, it makes sense to put that out there like what we do with the salary increases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes right down to that year, making those decisions that we
mm-hmm.
look hard at whether or not we're
sure.
eating into a carryover or...
Some things like social studies, I wouldn't anticipate that year being as high as
right.
possibly a math adoption.
Yeah. So in a year where we might be tight, maybe you do that.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
year.
And so trying to, because there is no plan currently, and I'm
right.
trying to create a plan,
mm-hmm.
trying to line all that up. So I feel like in another year we'll be in a better position
right.
to say, okay, this might be a better guess at where we're going to be.
Sure.
And we don't want to forget about our unified arts. So my suggestion would be looking at unified arts and coupling them most likely with social studies or one of the cheaper adoptions so that they fall in a year that, you know, to make that better. So
in some of the cases, too, there aren't enough textbooks for kids to even take them home. They've got a set that has to stay in the classroom, and so they stay there while the kids keep changing classes.
Well, in most textbooks now, when you get the textbook, there's also an online version. So if kids aren't able to check one out, most teachers check.
Right, but I mean, like from what had been previously purchased,
right.
there wasn't even enough for
right.
you know.
So we're
hurting.
Trying to make some. Well, we're just trying to. There was never a plan,
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
really, we're trying to create a plan.
Well, now
you're
kind of like at the bubble as far as our number of students, too. I mean, like, we've got some of the classes that have the most the largest classes that we've ever had.
Because our enrollment is down right now.
I mean, in some grades, you know.
It just depends on your class overall. That was one thing I meant to make a copy of for everybody. We'll look at it. Okay, so then I gave you a list of the items that when we met as a group, it was Diane and Mike and Chris and Jeff. Was Jeff in there? Jeff Wardo? Yeah, myself. We were in there and talking about what needs to be done back in June and everything. So that's where we came up with these items and then the special projects. So those special projects are the things that... How much do we have on these special projects and what needs to be done and all? So the transformers, replacements at four buildings, different things like that. There are some things there. The sewer system at Raymond, we aren't sure when those are going to happen. So those items, I mean, like the track or the fence at the stadium, some of those are not safety issues or issues that, you know, but the track at high school, if we want to still have a legal track and all, right. You can say that's going to be a safety issue at some point.
Mm-hmm.
How soon do we take care of that?
Now, is this stuff in the forecast?
These are not in the forecast at all. What I've done is try to do as much, this was the list that prompted this and how we came up with the list for those. So the next things are, the next part of this one is, Mike and Jeff put this together as far as what needs to be done and what they're doing this year. And so some of these are coming in at less than what we expected. And so they've done a lot of Leaves Roofing has done quite a bit of the air roofing areas and gotten those leaks fixed. But, you know, some of these, there are a lot of them that they just did the basic things that needed to be done this year and trying to go forward, trying to figure out what else needs to be done. So when you're looking at what's in permanent improvement, there are a lot of needs. A lot of maintenance needs, a lot of safety needs. They did all the safety items for the doors that came out of permanent improvement, the door locks, the cameras, and all that all came out of permanent improvement. Mike and I were on the webinar for the safety grants that we got the link today. Diane and I both got emails about that, so we can apply for up to $5,000 per doorway for each building and one door per building, and then Mark's radios, and that's $2,000 per building. So we can get a radio that's a first responder to, and it'll go right into the sheriffs and everything. Mm-hmm. The Mark's radio, there is a monthly fee of $20 per radio that we'll have to pay.
How many do you need in each building?
One.
Okay.
You only need one. So that's something we need to, you know, make sure that if that's what we're going to go with, we've got to add that as an expense in the budget, whether it's in PI or general fund.
So is this just a list of things that, is this more of a, does he have a budget that he does on a yearly basis?
This is part of their yearly budget. They did not do a five-year budget this year. Items, they did one, I think we gave it to you back, and I could not find it. I don't know if it was in my email or what, but neither one of us could find it, and it was a five-year list that they had done for Bill when he was here. We worked off that.
Is that the one we did with the finance committee, too?
Yeah,
where
he came in, and I bet it's in my finance book. That's why.
And I was looking for that, too, because I could have sworn when we were doing... That was about the time we were talking about the levy. And I just thought our PI had looked a lot more promising at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find that.
It had, and, you know, but it goes down, you know.
Yeah, I guess I would, just knowing that, I would like to compare, you know.
Mm-hmm. Where we're at,
Where we're at.
So, yeah.
So these are what they would like to do this year.
Yeah.
And do we know Like, is this stuff in the forecast, in your permanent
approval? We gave that, if it is in that forecast, they gave a bottom line number,
uh-huh.
and we gave them an amount that they were allowed to spend. And so, maintenance, repairs, see, they've got more here in their repairs than what we've given them, so they won't be doing all of these.
And really, the conversation with Mike and Jeff has been, you know, some of these things have been avoided and avoided and avoided over time, deferred maintenance, and now it's catching up with us. And some things are all happening at once. So trying to, for example, the transformer that burnt up in this building wasn't something last year, if you remember that, wasn't something we were prepared to do, and it ended up to be a very expensive venture. So on one of the sheets, you can see Mike put transformer replacement at four buildings. While it's not a priority, there's an age that they get to that the electric company, when they talked to us, said, okay, these would be the other four that, you know, might be on the cusp. Mm-hmm. So it's those kind of things, I think, that have been deferred over time that are catching up with us, too. Leaks at Edgewood on the roof.
You just got to be careful being the pay me now, pay me later kind of thing. Because when you pay me later, it's always way more than
more than
it.
Yeah.
It seems like preventive more damage, right?
Yes.
Well, it goes on to secondary damage.
Right.
You have a lot of stuff, and then you've just compounded everything.
Yeah, right. And it costs you more than it would have just to be on that cycle. But again, developing those systematic ways of approaching it. Need some attention.
So we only have $150,000 allotted out to them?
That's what we did.
I'm just kind of looking at this.
$150,000 in maintenance repairs, but then they've got $750,000 in site improvements.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds
that
better.
It's still not the $2 million that they've got in there, so they know that they aren't going to be able to get everything done.
Right, I think one they talked extensively about is asphalt. You know, we patched and patched and patched, and it really we have some areas that just need removed and redone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and I forget how much we approved this summer to go ahead and push forward and do, because they kind of got into one part that needed a little more than they thought, you know. So I know that was an area of concern.
Before I get my 3 points.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So I got invited to sit on the High Point Building and Maintenance Committee. Yeah. So they run a lot of committees out there. And I was, you know, just in a one-hour setting, I got a real full appreciation of, you know, how they run that department. And he put together a big, nice packet that had his 5-year plan on it. And he had his budget for the previous year. He had an over and under sheet showing all the projects that caused him to go up over in the previous year or under. And he went down those items with. And what I thought was nice is that there were two board members, supposed to be two. I got invited, so there's three of us there that got, you know, just are involved with that committee. And so Robert out there is always keeping them abreast of the things that are going on. So then when we have these discussions as a board, you know, as a 14-member board, we kind of look to that committee for, you know, kind of that comfort level. And I was talking to Sue about it. I think that would be something looking into the next years to come, is maybe having a couple board members.
Building maintenance committee. Yeah.
So what's the point of that committee? Just to do what?
Well, I think it's just similar to the finance committee, but, well, let's not go there, because it's not really that similar. It's more of just, and I talked to Bill Ramsey from Ben Logan, and he breaks down a bunch of the different areas within the school district into committees, and he appoints people from his board to be on those committees, and they just sit in and they keep more up to date on what's going on in those areas so that they can report back to the board, you know, and just provide that level of expertise. So, like, I'm not a building and maintenance guy. So, you know, I can look at this stuff all day long, and I can appreciate, you know, like what you were saying about the asphalt, like Robert was talking about the roof out there in High Point. They're just amazed at how long that roof has lasted. And he says he emphasized over and over again, it's because we take care of it. Because if we didn't take care of it, it wouldn't last this long.
Sure.
And, you know, and so I can appreciate it at that level, but beyond that, I just don't have that Whereas when I was talking to Bill Ramsey, he says that he has people on his board that have a little bit more aptitude for that, and they sit on those committees that they're, you know, better suited. And so when those people sit on there, they're more abreast of what's going on, and then they come back to the board and say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. It's just that extra level of comfort that the board is doing its due diligence and
sure.
asking the right questions. Because it's kind of hard to do that in a board meeting or even in these work sessions
right.
with a packet of paper.
Right.
You know.
Well, plus you can't ask questions of you know, the maintenance, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure I'd have 100 questions for Jeff Wargo about windows and doors. But
right. And that's what was nice is when you're in those committees, you have that opportunity to have
right.
discussions. And I don't know. I just think it's something to think about in the future.
We have a facilities committee now, but I don't think we've ever convened as far as I know.
Yeah. And it's different than the finance committee. The finance committee is, you know, supposed to be more community members, and I think it's just
right.
this is just board members sitting on those.
Right.
Well, maybe
unless,
we should push.
You want to have
unless,
a community member
yeah.
with some expertise because
yeah, like
of,
if you're
you
missing
know,
that expertise
yeah,
on the board,
sure heck,
that's a great
know.
Point. Yeah, then you would.
This is good or bad, but I'm you know I'm just interested in. I mean, I wish I had a better understanding of all this stuff.
Yeah, me too. But you know, I offered it up to Sue, the packet that he gave me, and she had no interest in looking at it, so I got it back. I just thought
was
it was well
the,
put
was
together.
Was that the folder? The
yeah,
folder
I took
out.
It back.
Well, I thought I'd taken it. So
no.
I was looking ahead of my pocket. I was like, where's
you
that
were like,
folder?
I'm not
going
to have time to read this.
Okay.
Give that back.
Thank you. That's mystery is solved.
Sorry. I didn't steal it back.
So that's where we're at with the PI. And we need to, and I agree wholeheartedly, Doug, that we've got to keep a very good eye on what's going on in this, and that's what we do.
And I just want to point that I know Mike's got a handle on this stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how we get that communication with the board where we can, you know.
Well, I think it's also important for them on their side to bubble those priorities up to the board so
yes.
that we understand
yeah.
what they're doing as well.
Yeah, and Robert, you know, there were some decisions that he was kind of teetering on, and he just floated it out to the board, and, you know, it was just kind of one of those things where he wanted to make sure the board was okay with the decision that he thought was the best one. And
how often does that committee meet?
You know, I think it might only be once and then as needed, because I know that committee does do, like, he'll invite that committee to do walkthroughs, like if they were going up on the roof. Mm-hmm. We have solar panels up there,
mm-hmm.
And so if they're going up there for something like that, he'll invite the committee to come up with them. But I think officially only once a year.
Is that when he presents his budget and his
it
forecast
is.
And all that
mm-hmm.
stuff?
Yeah. So I thought it was neat.
I like it.
Now the next one is to discuss the forecast. As we discussed, we went through the forecast and all, and this is just our baseline. And so if we want to look at anything within that baseline, we've talked a little bit about whether we want to do all-day kindergarten, do we want to do a different language, do you want to do anything like that? So this program, this will help us do that. And I've given you copies of this form, which is the staffing analysis, staffing plan form. And then I've also given you the levy modeling form.
Cool.
So that way at least you can sort of look at if you want to write numbers down on here, you can and ask questions. So this staff plan here.
Are we going to get a soft, not necessarily the actual forecast or spreadsheet, but like the PDF version?
Mm-hmm. I can give you a PDF of the forecast. Yeah, I will. It'll be in your packet for
okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And then so you've got your staff plan that we can look at. And when we do that, then we'll just flip one page and we'll see what that staff plan does to our operating. So if you look right now, operating surplus deficit with new levy model and look at the forecast, you'll see that $3,600,000 $3,381,000 in there. And then that's line 10.10. So that's the same number. That's your 10.10 line. So that tells you what the fund is as of June 30th. So that'll be your, and this one even goes to 15.01. So that when you've got new levies or the renewals, it's got your renewals in there also. So those, that line, you can follow along there. That'll give us. And then the bottom line, if we want to change this from 30 days to 60 days to 45 days, we can do that too to see what it takes to keep us in that cash balance so that we know where our cash balance is when we're looking at levies, adding staff, and all that. So let's just start playing a little bit. Next year, I'm going to say we're going to add one administrator. Oh, and then on the bottom, before we start, on the bottom of the staffing plan, you'll notice an input table. That input table says administrative new replacement, certified new replacement, classified new replacement, and then the same as if retire or they leave or RIF, however we want to do it. So it's a plus or a minus. So here on this staffing plan, I'm going to add one staff member, one administrator. So as you see here, it does that $63,000. What happens is because we pay during one, it's for one fiscal year, but we actually pay part of their salary in the next fiscal year. For administrators, if I put my here, you'll see that it's 11, it's 1/12 of this, 1/12. For fiscal year 15-16, this year has 11/12. So that way we can automatically, and what we've done down in these numbers here, we've given you the average of what those are. What I did was I went in this year, this input table here is the average of our administrators that either left or we hired back this year. So it was, so those gave us our averages of the people that left or the people that we brought in. So this, our $38,782 is the average of the new staff. And then what left for certified is $48,679. So that, we went in and I said, Chris, those numbers just didn't look right. And so what we were doing, we were playing with it and saying, let's just, we will model this for us, not just a basic what it's been over the past few years, but what it is right now and what happened this past year. So one administrator here, okay, we're going to have, I'm going to say we're going to have five new teachers and we're going to have four retirements. So we're replacing those retirees. Oh, got to do this. I got to do a minus here in front of it. Minus four. Oops. Minus four. So that I've got a negative number here. So that is our average cost. The grand total change there is $36,000. You're subtracting the 220. You've got the new up here at 228. You're taking out 191. You're adding to the budget by $36,000. So let's look and see what that does to the levy. There, that's a little bit better. What this does to have 30 days of cash, we have 30 days cash in 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. We still have cash. Now what this doesn't show, and we could do that. We could add another line. You could show the deficits.
I asked that, but I was like, is there a way we can see that on there?
We can do it, but I can't do it right now. Now, the other thing is,
because, I mean, that really falls in line with our cash. I mean, that plays
exactly.
Our cash policy.
And that's, we didn't have enough time to play with this yet, but we can do that, you know, looking at it later on at any time.
It shouldn't be hard to do.
It won't be hard to do. It's just we have to.
Right.
You want to take your time and do it right.
Yep.
Okay. Programmers. that.
Get it right the second time, right?
Okay, look at this. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. These numbers can come through. We can build this so that when we look at really at our forecast, what these are looking at right here, it says forecast K90. What we'll do is go out here and we'll move these so that we've got 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. We'll take an average of the differences here for the last five, put them in here, and then figure it. Mm-hmm. So, but we want to do that. So we can do that, and it'll give you a really good idea of where we're at in adding staff. But just for right now, to do the levy analysis for us right now, you can see by adding those one extra staff and one administrator, you were only adding $39,000 to it. You got more than enough here. Now, let's see.
Then did that also impact the benefits?
Yes,
too?
It yeah. automatically okay. impacts Good. The benefits too. Okay. And
so that's still the 30 days cash and
yes.
the benefits are taken out.
Yes,
yeah.
now.
Yeah, so I was going to say the okay. difference is more than.
Okay.
Just ask a question on the front page just because I'm just. Yeah. It affects everything in some way. Mm-hmm. I don't, if you look at line 7, I mean, on the
7.01
yeah,
or 02?
7.01.
Okay.
And if I'm understanding right, this is where the renewal dollars come in back in, right?
7.01 does not have the renewal dollars in. You have to
excluding
look at
proposed
1501.
Yes, that's
your.
Oh, I'm
yeah. So there's no renewals.
Because
there. You gotta look
on 1102, it's the renewals
yeah,
are on
the renewals down at 1102. And
so
then
these are the, okay. This
so that's without the
gosh,
renewals.
I'm sorry, man.
That's
I'm just
okay.
looking at that because
no
that's
problem.
The renewal number.
No problem. Okay. So we've talked a lot about all day kindergarten and let's say 10 teachers.
Right, so we sent you some stuff with some numbers in it, and our numbers were a little higher than what Bill and Cindy had done in the past. And really, I would probably argue that our numbers, I will tell you, I think are on the high side, but we tried to encompass enough that we probably covered transportation. At the time, we didn't have a transportation director, so we tried to go on the high side. Where I think Cindy's and Bill's were pretty conservative and would have been, to be honest,
on the low
side,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we went in and did that, we went with 10 additional teachers in kindergarten and then 5 support staff.
So let's make this, because I think we're going to have 5 retirees, and we're going to or 4 retirees at least. So
okay.
we're going to leave that alone.
Okay.
And this also includes Japanese for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So this one we need to add a Japanese for next year in this item. So if we add another
11 teachers, 10.
Well, are you replacing the
10
retirees?
Ten kindergartners and
plus
Japanese.
Okay, the Japanese is in here because I only have 4 retirees in
okay.
here. So
okay.
if I make this 15. And classified, we probably will have 2 bus drivers because of that. So we'll do that. So that grand total.
And you have the support staff in there too?
Well, she
yeah.
put all 5 in certified.
Yeah. So do you want...
Would those be certified or would they...
Yeah, they would be.
Well, some, I think.
Okay. We have... You want an extra 10...
Teachers.
You need 10 teachers.
10 teachers. Okay, let's not muddle this. Let's just take... I'm going to do this. We're going to do this as... This is just a model for kindergarten only. How's that?
Okay.
Okay. We're going to do 10 teachers and 10 support staff teachers.
5.
Five
so that's,
support.
So that's 15. And probably 2 drivers, right?
Correct.
$544,000 is what the grand total increase would be.
And I'm telling you, what would the support team make what the teachers are making?
Well, here's the problem. You don't know exactly what you need. So it could be a speech and language person, then yes. But if we just needed an additional aid in the classroom, no. So we figured go high.
Right.
So that you would be prepared and know that, you know, you might be...
We're thinking five, some type of teacher that's, you know, maybe an intervention teacher, speech and language. We were thinking maybe, you know,
high needs.
Well, and your average should include that range
because they're
anyway.
All on the same, they're all on the same salary schedule.
Okay.
So that... So that gives you $544,000.
And that carries it across.
Once you put it in here, it's in here, and then it's going to carry it for you. Okay. So it's going to carry it forward for you.
So that's going
to
make a huge
difference. So that brings us to, let me get back here a little bit so we can see it. That gives us 30 days in 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 now. See this line that says without all day kindergarten tuition, so I don't have to keep flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm. I went in this afternoon and said, okay, our tuition is $180,000 is what we've got in there. As does that help?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say something instead of squinting? Instead, so I took out the $180,000 that we're doing in tuition. So, because that doesn't carry over each year, I did that for each one. So that gives us an idea. This is what our balance is going to be in 15, 16, 17, and 18. You get down here to 2018, you're now under the 30-day cash. So you know, and probably in 17 is where you're going to be deficit spending.
How much do we add, again, total per year?
Well, in salaries.
$544,355 in salaries.
Because that doesn't have the benefits.
That does not have the benefits there, but the total does here.
Right.
This has the total here. So what this will do, this says, okay, we're getting close. I would say your deficit spending is hitting right there.
Because you go from... 4.7 down to 4.1.
So so your deficit's hitting in 17. So now you want to collect in 17. So it says incremental because it's based on another model, but these we can just put them in as however we want to. Mm-hmm. So what you do is we'll put these models in right now and say, okay, based on and we've added a little bit here for our assessed valuations. Mm-hmm. We can do whatever millage we want to work with or play with as far as what we feel is going to be needed to support those programs. So if you do a 3 mil levy collected in 17, so we can pass it in 16, but it's going to start collecting in 17, so that's going to get you half of your fiscal year 17 and half of 18, and then go forward. This is what a 3 mil levy does for you during this time period. Now, that gets you more than your 3 month or 30 day cash. So if we're just looking at what that 30 day cash is, and you want to keep that out, you just start playing with this and say, okay, 2 mils.
Well, can we look at the, go back to 3 mils and look at the deficit? I mean, just go to that front page. You should be able to do that.
Sure.
How come it's at, it looks like on fiscal 16, it's collecting half.
No, it's in.
But look down on the, on the bottom line, because all of a sudden that fiscal 16, your cash balance has increased, and it shouldn't have increased yet. I don't think. If we're collecting it in 2017.
Well, remember, fiscal year 16 is half of 16, half of 17. So your first collection for that levy will be January of 17, which will be the last half. No, it'll be the other way around. So your fiscal year behind. You're right.
Well,
it would be 18. It'd be 17 and 18, right?
Yeah.
And 16, 17.
So I'm confused why it's in 16.
Right. Zero this out until we're sure. Yeah. So this is collecting in 17. So it might be off a year, so let's just try it here. Yeah, this might be off. Let me see if this is showing up here.
That's pretty neat, though. I mean,
that's quite.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so I think it's okay here. That's, I think it's right there.
That'll pass.
So that's what that does. Because this is fiscal year 16, yeah, 17. So, okay. So now we'll look at what you want to do with the deficit. I gotta look at this line.
But even still, won't all that be down in line 15?
Yeah, it's all going to pull down into this area. Yeah, it's pulling the next year, so that's why it's pulling for 16. So it must be.
We should be able to look at. I mean, doesn't it accumulate it all in the 11s?
If it's a new, it's down below. It's in line 13010 or 020, I should say, is where the new is.
Or 11012.
Is where that's going to be at. Oh, it won't be above.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's
okay. Now 13. Yeah.
13.
We would have to add the renewals and the and this new money to whatever we have in.
Right. If you look at your, if you look at before any new levies, here in line 601. If you look at that, that's your deficit. Before any renewals or new. So if you look at the new, you have to, that's why it's really tricky. So.
Okay. It shouldn't be hard though. Like if we look
we can add that line. We can do that. So.
I was just curious because if 3 mils, you're backing it down to 2, but if we're in deficit.
Yeah, but by the time you're in deficit, it's not going to, yeah. So that's a way that we can do this and make this work for us as far as where we're going with the plan. So it looks like still with the plan, you can start thinking, okay, where are we going to create, you know, how are we going to do this? Do we want to do that? But because you're with the state funding, the way it is now, the new state funding, because we are in the cap so far, we probably, no matter how many kids we get, unless we get a couple thousand in 1 year, we won't get out of it for at least 4 years if they stay at the same, if they, the next biennium, if they do the same thing.
So isn't Sue right, though, about where that is? When you put that 3 in, collect.
Yes, this one should, if I do collect in 17, this is collecting in 16. Yeah, so this is.
So if you put it in that bottom line, then it'd be the way we want. And then can we go back and look at that deficit spending?
You could probably just look at the cash balance and see if it's going down.
Right, I'd also like to see.
Right, here's your deficit.
Well, I'm just saying that would indicate a deficit.
Right.
If it's
your deficit spending with what we just did with all-day kindergarten, no new, no replacement, is $328,000 next year.
No new, no replacement.
Right. So if you add the replacement, where's the replacement dollars at? 4.
Right there.
Right there, the $1,000,003.
Right.
We are not in deficit spending next year.
Right.
With the renewal.
Right. And let's see.
And then the new comes in here. You would not be in deficit spending. You would. 328.
Yeah, and you wouldn't
still
need,
wouldn't be in deficit spending
in
even in 16.
Right.
With the renewal.
Right.
And as long as we had the renewal.
And what in November?
You go all the way down to the bottom. I mean, sure. That's that line. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's my assumption we would be out of deficit spending until 17 on this.
Yeah.
Which line?
The one that includes all the levies. That's that last
one. Oh, it's right. This one right
here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So it's going up.
It's going.
With
so that
with
means
a 3 mil.
Right.
That's with a 3 mil though. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, Doug. I always look at that to see if it's going up or down. Yeah, and down, you know that there's deficits.
So if we didn't have the $3 million, it would be going down in 17.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So
okay.
We're not in deficit spending.
Right.
Yet.
Right. You're not in deficit spending with
right.
the $3 million.
With our renewal.
With the renewal. That's, you know, what? I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's my. I think it's my glasses. I look up there, they're all messed up, and I look down here, and I can't see anything.
Yeah.
But that, you know, to me, that gives you an idea of where,
right.
what programs we can add, how much we can add,
right.
with what we've done so far, and where we're at.
Right.
Now, if any of the assumptions that are in there change,
yes,
it's going to be all different.
Right.
Now, were you okay with the assumptions that we had that we've got in the forecast?
We took out TPP out of there, right?
Right.
Yes.
And it's just strictly a 2% increase on the base. I think
yes.
that's really the only assumption that's
right.
outside.
And the state funding's flat.
The flat line state
right.
funding and
you
whatever
know,
after we
next
got.
Which I think that offsets the TPP. You
a
know?
Little bit, yeah.
I mean,
right.
because, you know.
Current insurance rate, so.
It's
yes.
just at 8%.
So that might
yeah.
be.
I'm sure that.
I mean, I think that's something we're having a presentation next board meeting about increases with healthcare, and so we don't want that to go off our radar either.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
those taxes,
that cap,
that's you can't pass that along.
And our first quote was the
35
substantially higher as well. So.
What can't
right.
pass along?
Well, like the fees that are part of it.
There is part of the there's taxes that we will have to pay, and then there's taxes that we can add as long as we are. If we wouldn't have to pay them if we were self-funded, but as long
okay.
as we are self-funded, they go into we can put those into to the premium. So there's like two or
okay.
three different sets of fees and taxes and different things like that that we have to watch and where
right.
they go and what they're in and for.
So this committee can't. I mean, come up with a healthcare plan that allows them to increase the overall cost more than 8%, and just say those aren't that's out that just all goes to the board. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We cap the healthcare cost at 8%,
right?
And
so any excess has to go to them.
I just can't. Yeah, just, to me it seems. This
well,
is
I'm not so sure that that
especially
one
when they
is
have all control over how that gets done.
Well. Yeah, I agree on that, but I don't know about the tax because it's based on the number of people that are on your plan. It doesn't have anything to do with the actual premium.
I can tell you that when I talk to my insurance guy about my premiums and
uh-huh.
stuff like that, that tax is right in there.
Okay.
I mean that's not like
mine
oh, in
separate.
Addition to you get a tax.
Yours
tax
is
bill.
Separate.
Yeah, the business.
Mm-hmm.
The
well,
business
and we just had a
separate.
Quote for Dave at the foundation, and it was showing.
Not
showing the premium, and then like four,
yeah,
different,
the
four
tax,
different taxes.
It's part of
it's
what
part
you pay.
It's part of his monthly.
Well,
we've bill,
already
yeah.
had to pay a tax already this year
uh-huh.
that we had to pay.
The actual company, whoever the company is getting taxed because we do through Mike's company. Mike's
yeah.
company gets taxed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just
yep.
to me, it's just
if it's an individual plan, it's just written into your individual. See what I mean?
Right. I
but
guess,
when it's through a
but when you're talking about the largest budget on our forecast is compensation, and you talk about a 2% that we have on salaries, and now you're talking 8% on health insurance. And we go into negotiations, we talk about that, we agree to that, and then all of a sudden now it's, well, you've got a committee that's all benefiting from these health care benefits. I mean, nobody in that committee is representing really the community's interests or even our interests at the board in terms of our budget and our appropriations. And they can negotiate. I mean, I just don't. It doesn't
yeah,
make
we're,
sense.
We're keeping trying to keep it down because if they
well, yeah,
if
they
that goes
pay.
Up, they're going to be paying.
Yeah,
more.
Well,
pay
that's
why
I'm saying.
Yeah, and so they are going to negotiate and try to do the best
right.
they possibly can.
I would think their drive would be far more than ours is.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
yeah I agree
exactly.
100%. But just maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying in terms of. So I know there's that 2.6% or whatever it is.
Yeah, there's certain taxes that. there is a tax that is an actual tax that you, the employer, like Amy said, right, that has to pay.
It's a tax on what amount? On salaries?
A tax on, and Jeff, I'm not as versed in it as I probably should be. It goes with all of the Health Care Affordability Act. We don't have to pay it this year. It'll be next year.
I was just wondering, 2% of what?
There's a 2% on the number of staff based on some.
They do some formula, and they even charge on a family plan. I mean, like one of our guys, we have to pay on each one of his children, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, dollar something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all that Affordable Care Act, and they bill the company. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll probably go over that at the board.
Yeah. I would imagine. Yeah. I was just curious. I hear that tax, but I have no idea on what to sell what.
But how much of that's based on the plan you pick, I guess.
No, that's not. None of that is.
None of it is.
Not that part of it is. That part is flat fee.
I know there's some flat fees. Well, flat tax.
Yeah, flat tax. Yeah.
But
I think it's like $2 a person and something like that. We did.
So that should be known regardless of what they get then, what you're saying.
Yeah. So,
but that's
so all of that is,
them because it's not.
Well, I guess my point was if it was something that was based on the insurance they picked, that's.
No, it's not. No, it's not based on any of the insurance they picked. It's based on.
So then would the only effect have whether or not you decided or the district decided whether spouses would be covered or not if their employers offered it? They would have to take it instead of using the districts, because if that many people then wouldn't be on the district's plan because they, purchased it from their own employer.
Well, right now we do have. I mean, it's only $75 a month, but if your spouse can take insurance and you're
what
on
I'm
ours,
saying is this tax you're talking about
that's
of how many people
covered. Yeah.
I mean, if it depends upon the amount of people.
It is. It's based on the number of people, number of lives. So
I guess my point is whatever decisions they make that impact whether that cost goes up for us has to be a consideration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not,
absolutely. And we do. Lynette and I sit on that committee so that we make sure that it's looking at that because we don't want it to go up any more than anybody else does. So
not to get too deep, but did they rebid that?
Did they go out
for bids? Yeah,
yes.
I would hope.
Yeah, hopefully
we'll
have numbers.
Yeah. 35 sounds good, right?
No, we went out to market, and numbers are supposed to be back tomorrow.
So that'll be part of the presentation then next week.
We're hoping that everything comes in.
Does that affect the dental insurance too? I mean, did that go out to bid? Was that what the district have?
Yeah.
With United Healthcare also?
No, it's not. Our dental is with CoreSource.
Yeah,
they did that. They went out to bid. So this gives you an idea of what, those plans do, the number of staff, the changes there, because that is your biggest option. And this gives you a little idea without the all-day kindergarten in tuition, because based on the new state funding, you won't get any more money on those kids. So you'll lose that $180,000 a year that we're currently collecting on the tuition.
Now
the hope would be, I'll reiterate to you, I think you all know where I stand on all day, every day.
Yeah.
But the hope would also be you cut down on your intervention costs in three and four. You know, if you get a solid K-1-2 early literacy set up, then your intervention costs really across the board should decrease as a result of early intervention.
Wouldn't that be a good time, though, then to look at redistricting, where the elementaries are, where people live? Because that's been a long time since that's been looked at.
Yeah, we've had lengthy discussions about that. We know that redistricting is needed. Mm-hmm. It would be great to do that with all day, every day, instead of do all day, every day one year, redistrict the next year, so that kids are settled in.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we know that redistricting can be a painful process.
Right.
We want to make sure we give ample time for community involvement and input in that as well. So
mm-hmm. It's been a really long time since that's happened.
So if we do this and say we want to change that, just change it to a different year, 15-16, put it off one more year. If we don't feel that we can get it done for this coming year, then you can do that also and say, okay, this is where we're at, and this is what happens. So you're now just, you're still in, and we put the 3 mil in there, take that out.
I'd just like to say that if we decided to do it, I'm sure it can be ready for next school year.
Do you realize what you're doing to everybody? I'm just telling you. So you can see right here, your deficit spending is definitely in 17 because your amounts are going down.
Are going down.
Now, Sue, I know you're dying for me to change this, aren't you?
How did you guess?
I just knew it. I'm going to go 60 days. What do we need for a 60-day balance?
A lot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But, you look at that, if you're doing a good balance, 60 days is not much. What would happen if something came along, a tornado took one of the buildings down?
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to cover it somehow until we got that insurance money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A flood hit the hit town and took out one of your buildings.
What about 45 days? It's kind of that gradual increase.
There you go. 45 days is, between 5.7 and 6.2.
Right.
That gives you a little idea of what you need to have that. And if you wanted that and you put this, a 3 mil levy in, you're right there.
We talked about TPP, and that's what, when I look at that cash balance, that's probably the biggest motivation for the cash balance is that gives us is there a way we can pull that out and
sure
see what that would do?
Absolutely.
And while you're trying to find that, a quick question on language, because I know we're, is that a pretty sure thing that we're going to add a Japanese teacher?
Yes.
Okay. Have we talked about doing that at the elementary levels?
We have.
Okay.
We're trying to decide what capacity this person will be at.
Right.
But the person will also be working with Chamber and the Sister City and the Student Exchange Program additionally.
Okay.
If we were able to hire a second, then we'd look into extending down into Creekview and the elementaries. But right now, we thought one would be a good move.
Right, okay. Because I guess long term, in my opinion, I think that it needs to start at the elementary school because that's when kids learn it easiest, even in preschool, get our preschool, because that's, again, studies show that they pick it up so quickly.
The idea would be really at the elementary, if you could dream, is to do some kind of exploratory language piece with multiple languages.
Right.
And let the kids, get a better understanding for culture and pieces of that, and then extend that up through.
Right.
How effective would the online for the elementary schools, learning languages that, that they could interact with? Doing it over the computer?
Little programs, just learning
how effective
vowels and
alphabets. There's
sounds.
Certainly lots of programs out there that offer
something like a Rosetta Stone.
While they work with that,
because the kids learn the words
and
they associate.
One of the ones you probably heard of more is the Rosetta Stone model, and that seems to have some data that supports that it's pretty effective at elementary.
Right.
It's more. Depends on the language, how effective it is.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think it's more the process with just associating words with objects instead of trying to do, all that stuff.
I would imagine you would have more people interested in the foreign languages at the younger grades because the parents are making the decision rather than the kids. You know what I mean? You get into high school and kids don't want anything to do with that.
Right.
That's why we also talked about middle school. Certainly, middle school was kind of by selection because we only had so many staff.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely an interest of the kids to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So just another option.
Okay, so TPP, how do you want to do this? $1 million each year coming out? Or do you want to take it all the way out? They aren't going to take the whole thing.
I wouldn't think so, yeah. I mean,
or we could even just do 500.
Take out 1%? 2%?
Taxes.
That's like 450.
It'd be nice if they applied that,
like
they took it away and applied it to our cap.
In what way?
Hmm?
They took it away but applied it to our cap. We're so deep into our cap, why would they just roll that TPP off cap amount to
I'm thinking having flat funding is extremely conservative.
Yeah, I think so
know.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Chris seemed to think that given the state of
the economy
and
rainy
the states,
day
rainy
fund.
Day fund, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it looks like we were taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of some of these previous sacrifices and stuff, that I think you're right. Maybe the cap would factor. I mean, that'd be the ideal situation for this district is that at some point it gets made up in our state foundation.
And that's what they said it was supposed to happen when it first went with the cap taxes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because of the cap taxes. I mean, the economy hit and everything changed 2 years after they did it. So.
Yeah.
I'll do a minus what? 900,000? Yeah. Always helps
put
that
equal
sign.
Get that equal sign in there.
Oops. I think you got 9 million.
Okay, well, I can't tell the number.
I know.
There you go. So then minus 1800123.
You want to change the cash to 30.
I can do that too.
I mean, that doesn't make any difference, but
gives you an idea with the renewals.
So 17.
17 is
spending,
still,
17.
But that's no new additional.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So your renewal, but no new additional, no new programs in there. I took the staffing out. So that
but
gives you a little idea.
Compound pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
with the
from
loss
4
of that,
million to
when
is
you're
that
a
half
a
million?
Almost $1 million a year, that really compounds quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it'll go down that much?
That's about what it went down this time.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. 2%.
So you think it'll continue on that? Or
No, I don't think it'll continue on that. In fact, I don't think it's going to continue to go down. And they may just say, my personal opinion is there's a lot of districts that are, I'm not going to say a lot, there's about 80 districts that are very dependent upon TPP,
mm-hmm.
that were and are, and those are our factories. And if they decide to do that, take it away here, then they're going to have to put it into the cap. And that's why if you look at every one of those districts, they're on a cap, and they're on the cap deep because our values went down.
That's what I mean. It just seems like
a
simple. I mean, we're deep enough into the cap. We could probably cover them almost all of that.
We're
that TPP
$6 million
in the
cap.
So we can't carry it all.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you would get rid of that political thing of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just be
done
with it.
Subsidizing.
Yeah.
So if they would let that cap leave, put that, and get rid of that, you'd have the districts that would.
If I'm not mistaken, the majority of the districts that had a little bit from TPP have all been weeded off of that after the last budget.
If they had less than 2%, mm-hmm. either in fiscal year 12 or 13, they had 2%, maybe they had 3 or 4%.
Mm-hmm.
in fiscal year 12, so they got 2% was deducted then, and then 13, if they were 2% that year, then it's all gone. Mm-hmm. If they've had more than 2%, then they still have whatever was left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that number before that, there was a lot of districts that got something on that, but they've...
There are some districts that lost their factories before.
Yeah, that were still getting it.
That are still getting it.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know.
Yep, still getting that TPP replacement for something that doesn't exist anymore.
And the factories have been torn down completely. You know where one is? Take it to you right today.
No one said state funding was easy, right?
Yeah, exactly. So does this help on what we can do? And I think it's going to be a great tool that Diane and you guys can use and go forward on where we're at.
I guess I have one more question. We talk about all day, every day kindergarten. Are there any projects coming up the next year or two that would, aside from that, that would have an effect on our staffing or our costing or stuff like that? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to say one thing. I personally feel our high school needs another assistant principal with the demands of OTES. Mm-hmm. And the volume of 1,600 kids being in that building, mm-hmm. I think that's an area that we need to definitely check into and keep our eye on. While it might seem to the commoner that's a lot of people, mm-hmm. If you do the math real quick, it's not very many people. And principals are keeping some data for me on the OPEZ process and the time it's taking to complete that process so that we can come back and look at that as well. But that is one thing that's on the horizon that I don't...
How would staff feel about that? I mean, would you get pushback from...
Well, I think there's always a tension when you add an administrator and you made a reduction in teaching staff. Mm-hmm. But I also think that the high school staff would tell you they see a need. The OPEZ or OTES system takes a substantial amount of time commitment, and it's the right commitment, mm-hmm. but certainly when principals are out of the office doing evaluations at that length and the walkthroughs required, there's a give to get during the school day.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't observe a teacher after 3:00. You have to observe them when they're there in action. So we'll continue to kind of look at that. And that would be one thing. And we also know that we're looking at, you know, the STEM project. So we're going to mm-hmm. talk about that next month. But, you know, I don't think there's going to be staffing implications as far as ads with that.
But there'll be utilities and stuff like that to run the building, right?
Correct. Correct. There will be utilities. Some of those details are not panned out as far as partners using the facility.
But you'll need another administrator, right? At least one if you're going to open up another building, right?
Would there be some lead person here, yes.
And support staff, right?
Correct. Okay. But remember, kids are coming from somewhere as well.
So no, I get that. I get that. I'm just saying
it's
not
necessary.
Right. It doesn't necessarily have to be a new ad.
Right.
Yeah. Because those kids are coming from somewhere.
I got you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe another, maybe outside of our district or just from within our district.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Either way.
Because
okay.
In essence, if we take 100 kids out of the high school and start here, there's obviously 100 less kids there. So,
okay, so some staff can move over or
sure.
support,
no,
whatever.
I'm just saying, you know, you have another office, you got another, a whole other, you know, I assume you got to have a cafeteria here or something so they can eat and...
We do not have to have a cafeteria here. You just have to make food available.
Gotcha.
Start a culinary school.
If that's what we ought to do.
I just encourage you to not get in the weeds of the project yet.
Right.
It's at a very...
Right.
I wasn't trying to. I was actually just trying to see what the risks were to doing, if you wanted to do an all-day, everyday kindergarten.
Yeah.
And what's the risk to doing that if you have other
type.
Projects that push up against that. So,
and
I would ask, you know, what if we decide we want to do all-day, everyday kindergarten, what are our risks going into that 3 years down the road we can't sustain that particular cost? Then, mm-hmm. you know... where are we at on, right. on the, you know.
I mean, I hope, like you say, that after a couple of years, we start seeing that we don't need those intervention specialists, you know, and so maybe somebody retires and you don't need to replace them, and that
right.
over time,
sure.
you know, maybe one at each building is
right.
needed, so it leaves you some room for growth in
right,
other
right.
areas.
I was
so.
Just,
yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah
just,
I know.
Just
yeah,
trying
you
to,
play.
you gotta look for your weaknesses, you know, before
sure.
they hit you. So.
And I get what you're saying, because I mm-hmm. catch myself getting into the weeds, like I want to know exactly how it's going to work, but
right.
we're just not. So every once in a while, I have to pull myself back up on the balcony and
right.
plan that out first. And those are conversations we've had as well. And I will tell you, we're taking our census data and taking that all of those kids that were born that will be 5 next year are going to come to our school. That's not realistic. Some people mm-hmm. will still make a faith-based choice
right.
to go. Mm-hmm. Some to a private school. Some mm-hmm. will still make a choice to, you know, do something differently, homeschool, whatever. So we know we're high on that number. What we're struggling with is how we really get a solid prediction for that. So we've called some other districts, and they kind of just do guesses as well. And that's kind of the, with new builds coming, we've seen several in the Northwood area. So really coming at a solid number that I can say, hey, I think we're within 50 kids. We're not there yet.
What are those other districts, Diane? Do they have like 1-2% as an average if they see that don't? Or is
well, many of them have projection reports, so mm-hmm. they hire a company in to do projections anyways.
Right.
And so, who was that? Devlin? I can't even remember who we talked to now. I have the list, so I can get it back to you. But talked about they have a percentage that they use.
Okay.
So they make a guess based on that. I did talk to staff at Trinity and said, okay, you know, how many classes do you have? How many do you think, mm-hmm. if you had to guess? And they feel like it would significantly impact. I think there's 5 kindergarten there this year.
I don't know.
4 or 5 kindergarten this year. And they thought it may take them down to in the range of 2.
Wow.
And now, the question I did not ask is what their class size was. I thought of that after the fact. I'm not sure in comparison if they're at 20 or 15.
Right.
Or so, you know, just beyond those kind of conversations, it's, you know, going to be one of those things I think that's going to be real hard to get your finger on the first year, but
right.
then after that you'll have a better sense. We don't really have a way to ask those parents because they're not our parents yet. You know,
right.
we
right.
try to think of different avenues. So not all the preschool, not all kids that are 4 are going to preschool.
Right.
So you can't
right.
even survey mm-hmm. through the preschool.
Some
so
may not start them until they're 6. You know,
right.
you've got some that are 5
right.
at yeah. late birthdays or whatever.
Right. So if anyone has a great idea for that, we're willing to listen, but we're going to continue to work through and talk to some other people as well.
So for the forecast that we're going to do this month, are we including any of that or not including any of that? Like the all-day, everyday kindergarten? I mean,
I would think not.
Right.
No, not right now, unless you want me to.
I know.
I mean, if we did, we would have to include the levy. Are we including the levy in there or not, right?
We would have to
renew, but is not.
Now, as part of the 5, we talk about a 5-year plan, and so
right.
and it took us a long time to get around to making a 5. I mean, we haven't really made a 5-year plan. We have a forecast. I mean, isn't that kind of the decision?
Well,
that
yeah, you're right,
because
within that 5-year forecast, we don't want to be deficit spending.
Right.
I mean, the state allows you to.
I guess
you have to be in the red, what, for 2 years or 3 years?
For good measure, projecting 2% salary increases on out, and we have no idea what that means. And we have to negotiate. We don't have the money. We know the state's doing.
Right.
But all day, every day, kindergarten is something I think we all think we're going
to
do, right? I mean,
I'm pushing
that decision.
Well,
yeah,
and we have gone out with this campaign and said, look, you're not
right.
going to see us till 2016.
Right.
So
right.
why would I have a... I feel like we've kind of
set the stage
for
that
5-year plan because we know
right.
this one will be up in 19, and right. So we talked about making that permanent at that time.
Right.
So if we got the new in 16, then mm-hmm. it would yep. be up the next time. So
yeah,
I feel
so
like,
we have talked about it. I'm just thinking sure. now's the time you put it to paper. I mean, yeah. in a work session.
I agree.
I agree.
I'm not running,
so it's not like
I'm with you. I mean, I think we all understand the value
right.
of having all day, every day kindergarten. Yeah. And if that's one of our priorities and our budget, our forecast, you know, shows that we can do it. And we've talked about new money in 16, you know,
right.
I think if you include some estimate in there, then
yeah.
I would only say that only holds true if our levy passes in November.
Mm-hmm.
If our levy
right.
doesn't pass in November, then that 5-year
right.
plan is significantly shifted.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think once that in place, I think when you put out your next forecast, you know,
can do a new forecast as soon
yeah.
as that levy's passed.
Right.
Right. But,
and
but
say,
we're
okay. In that forecast, we were waiting to see if the levy passed.
Right.
I agree, but this is the one we submit to the state that goes on their website
yeah.
that everybody looks
you,
at. But
you can submit
another
one later for
well,
them to put on their website.
And it doesn't...
Most people, I mean,
yeah.
I probably don't even look at the
same exactly,
thing.
Yeah.
And if they do, they would have a very hard time, I mean, outside of... I mean, see, you can't see the assumptions looking at this.
Figuring out, right.
I mean, so
yeah.
I think for
but
a
the
plan,
assumptions are on the...
Right,
website.
I understand.
Yeah.
They're
it's
there.
All there. If you want to find it, it's all right there.
But for every 10 people who look at this, probably one of them looks at the notes.
If that.
I always do.
Yeah. Well,
you're special.
You're the one.
Yeah.
Right. Details. Leave it to
Tracy.
I guess my thought is, and I'm just thinking, planning is something we need to do,
mm-hmm.
and we have to put a plan down. It doesn't mean we're held to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're really planning on that, which I think everybody here would say, that's, you know, today, if everything goes the way
right.
we want it to, that's the plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the plan is we want to do all day, every day kindergarten next year. We want to, we've told people we'll probably be back on the ballot in 16.
Right.
That's the plan. We should put the plan out there, is my thought.
Okay.
You know, and if that plan changes, you know.
Yeah, because like, I mean,
and we
lots of things can change
out
there.
Before the November?
We don't have to put it out at all. Oh, this.
Well, I mean,
this,
our
yes,
five-year
yes.
forecast is
yeah.
is due
October
in October.
31st.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing to consider really is what Cindy said, that we're pending November's outcome. So,
right.
if you approve without adding that in, we could revisit it in November and say, okay, look, we passed. We knew it was contingent on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Superintendent Treasurer, we want you to go out and. We want to make it happen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many bus routes exactly, now that we have
mm-hmm.
a transportation director,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many bus routes will that add? How many? We have a guess that would be two,
mm-hmm.
but I think we have that covered in 15 staff. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think our number is significantly higher than the quote.
So we wouldn't have to put that we're going to ask for new money in 16 till after the levy.
We've said that the whole
yeah,
time
I was
on our
say,
levy campaign.
I mean,
okay.
we were talking about that.
That
it's on our flyers. It's on
oh,
the flyers.
Okay.
You're not going to, our
yeah.
problem really is, to be honest, is you're not going to see us again. You've seen us three times in one calendar year.
Right.
Yeah. But you're not going to see us again until 2016. At that time, it's going to be new.
Right.
And so
right.
between then and, or now and then, we need to communicate our message crystal
right.
clear.
And that's why I think it's important that it's out there on a
so
plan.
So you're
going to
put it on, but you're not going to put in the renewal amount.
The renewal's already in there.
The renewal's in here, but no new money's in here.
And then
okay,
15
but you're
going to
add new money
staff.
Into the forecast. Is that correct?
After November.
After November, not before? That's what I'm asking. Are we going to show that new money in the forecast that we do
If we're going to wait to put all day, every day kindergarten, if we're going to wait until we see if this renewal passes... Then I think it would make sense to wait for everything and put it in.
It seems to me that it's a short term goal we have to reach, which is our renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that's done, it really sets the table for long term planning.
Quite honestly,
if we're going to announce all day, every day kindergarten, I'd sure like to do it when there's more than just us sitting in. you know what I mean? I mean, it would be something
right.
that
right.
you know, that, right. you know. Look, we've talked about it. We've worked through it on our forecast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that we've come back, let's put it in our forecast. Let's
mm-hmm.
look. This is what we want to do. And
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would just be my thought.
I would just encourage that we do that
Absolutely. We can resubmit it to the state, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Then I would say, I would say if our renewal passes, we modify our forecast to show that, we kind of go ahead, move forward with it, and just resubmit it, and off we go.
Because if we don't do any of that, then I still think that there needs, we're still looking at an $800,000 deficit in 15, and according to our policy, I think that's, does that hit that threshold? I would assume that it's above that, right?
What are you looking at?
In 15 or 18?
Oh, 18, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm seriously blind over here. I don't know what my deal is today. So I'm just kind of guessing.
Right. Well, I think if it doesn't pass, we have to address that. I mean, that's part of our policy. As we said, we would address it. So
yeah. So I think the plan there is in November we address it.
One way or the other.
One way or the other.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because by then, when it passes in November, you put that money right up to where it belongs.
Right.
And then that really gives you a clean slate of where your deficit and your balances are, and it makes it so much nicer and cleaner.
I would just like to remind everyone on that note that early voting is open.
Hannah's going tomorrow. She's home. Oh, yeah, thank you. I do have to start remind Connor again.
I'm trying to get there before the end
of the questions. And I have to make myself a note. Okay.
All right, were there any other questions on any of our financial pieces then?
No.
All right. Then I'm going to move that we adjourn.
Thank you for a nice presentation.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
So we're moved in second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned.